Sports on Tap. Good morning. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, the headline that I see this morning, and this is it's just as surprise to me as the headline is, Goodell reportedly miffed at Matt Patricia's T-shirt. By now, people probably know that Matt Patricia got off the plane when they landed in Boston with a turquoise, bright turquoise T-shirt that had a picture of Roger Goodell's face on it and a big fat red clown nose right in the middle.
Oh, the circus is coming to town there in Boston, literally, is what it is. So maybe he was just going out there trying to get ready, you know, the Barnum and Bailey and all that good stuff.
But,
I find it funny, Patricia looking like the one look like a clown. He's got the hockey beard he hasn't shaved in 6 years, right. The hat on backwards, right. You know, right. Walk his hoodie cut off and sleeves and everything. But why not, man? The Patriots, they did it. They came back. They defied the impossible. And they can do whatever they want for however long they want. Goodell should sit
Jason,
there. You got thicker skin. You're a commish, Jimmy.
Jason LaConforma from CBS Sports. He's an insider, and he says he was close enough to a league insider to say that the failure of owner Robert Kraft to keep Matt Patricia from wearing the T-shirt, quote, ticked off some people in the league office. What do you expect? What kind of reaction do you expect out of them? Of course they're going to take some shots at you. You did everything that you could to handicap them and keep them from winning, and they won anyway.
Yeah, but this bad news, Patriots fan, this just in as well, that Patricia, who's the defensive coordinator, has already been suspended the first two games of next year as well. So you're actually going to have to go to that game. They're going to have to coach themselves. You can't even have an assistant coach, J.D. Huddle, and tell you what plays to run. You just got to kind of figure it out. Are we going to go zone?
You know what?
Are we going to go man-to-man? What are we going to do?
They'll go 1-1 and be fine.
They'll go 1-1, be fine, and then win the rest of the way out. Brady's going to call the shots on defense, at least for the first two.
I want to say it was the night of the game that they were doing their due diligence in the post game, the post mortem of the Super Bowl. When this number came out, it was 1,057-4. That was the number of NFL games that they had tracked for teams that had blown that kind of lead. Well, they've done their work a little bit deeper over at NFL.com, and they've come up with this. They've adjusted that number. They've now looked at every game ever played in the NFL, and NFL teams are 2,545-4-2 when they get up by 25 points or more. So that number for the Atlanta Falcons only gets worse as the week wears on. We're not even a week away from the game yet. It's just a few hours away from that, and that number has gotten worse by more than 100%.
You know who's happy about this kind of in a sinister way? Because, I mean, during the week, I got nothing to do being unemployed and stuff. You know, I live for the weekend, so I listen to a lot of Seattle sports talk radio in my hometown. Their first thing they said, here's how they started their Monday show. Thank you, Atlanta. You've gotten us off the hook for the worst Super Bowl ending ever. Because you can say what you want about an interception in the end zone. I'm sorry, bro. Blew a 25-point
lead.
They talk about it everywhere. I'm at the LMU-Gonzaga game on Thursday. LMU-Gonzaga with a bunch of student fans there. Someone holds up a sign when the TV's on. Atlanta blew a 28-3 lead. Atlanta blew a 28-3 lead at a college basketball game in Westchester. Really?
Wow.
They're going to talk about that forever.
That's
it
hilarious.
Used to be the Warriors who got that with the Cavaliers. Now it's going to be Atlanta who's got that sign that they're going to, you know, hold on to forever. And as you should. Honestly, I've said for this week at least, I'm saying there's 49 states in the union, JD. I would not claim Georgia. If you're out there and you're listening, you're from Georgia. You're not an American. Okay, at least for this week. Maybe we'll welcome you back next week. If you're from Atlanta, you're not American in my book.
No,
you're not.
You're a disgrace.
You pretty much, yeah. You're a disgrace. You may be a nice person, but you should be ashamed. Honestly,
Look at way out here in the West Coast, because Rob and I do a national.
There's lots
show
of transplants
for NBC, and so we're talking to a national audience.
Oh, I'm on in Georgia. They hate me.
Yeah, I know we're on down there, and no, they're not real happy. I mean, you know what? They're not happy with any of that. This is, and I almost want to pose the question: Is it a greater comeback or is it a bigger meltdown? Which is it one of the two? It's probably the combination of both.
It is the real answer. Yeah.
But I mean, really, what's bigger? That win, that amazing comeback, what they did in the end, score those touchdowns, get the 2-point conversions, all of that, or the incredible meltdown? I'm going to go with the Patriots, unfortunately, because Atlanta really only had one good quarter. In the second quarter, they scored their points and did their damage. Everybody's zero in goose eggs in the first one. Atlanta's entire second half was bad. So they had one good quarter out of the Super Bowl. So it's really more about the Patriots wind up dominating the game than it is about Atlanta blowing it.
Okay, see, and I knew you would say that because, again, you're the consummate professional and you're the optimistic one. That's nice. You know me. I'm the pessimistic one. I'm like, my glass is half empty. Where's the rest of my glass? Did you drink it, Dave? Did you drink it, JD? Give me the rest of my glass back,
Dave,
okay? That is an incredible meltdown is what it is. So many different ways they could have done things differently. You know, when they were up 20,
see, and
when
you
they
can't
were up
even
25
pin it to one
points.
Thing. You can't even pin it to one thing. I mean, one thing you could pin it to, you might want to think about with a big lead like that, maybe running the ball a little
bit. How many
bit.
Times did they run the ball after they're up 25?
Three.
Five. Five. The rest of the game.
The rest of the game.
What are you throwing the ball for? Are you trying to, like, blow them out 41-3? What are you trying to do?
Run
the ball, take time off the clock. All you do is kick an easy field goal for a guy who's 7-for-8 from that range there, and let's pass it. Let's get, you know, sacked. Let's take ourselves with a holding penalty out of field goal range. So many different things that make up a game, but that is the most colossal meltdown and choke I've ever seen. Matt Ryan.
I don't want to hear about that phantom flag either, though. Yeah. That phantom. Nope. Look, you can call that play anytime that you want to when it gets, you know, outrageously bad. That's when they throw the flag, but you can't blame it on that play. It's not that play. Yeah, sure, that took him out of field goal range and all of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't that play that cost them the game.
60 minutes. Atlanta fans are like that, too. They said when Seattle beat them up there, Julio Jones got interfered with Richard Sherman. They didn't see the fact that they didn't see that Julio Jones had grabbed Sherman by his face mask off the line of scrimmage and basically wrestled him to the ground. Nobody sees that. People see what they want to see. When it comes to penalties, you got the entire game. That is the worst meltdown in history, period. Honestly, if I'm a Falcons fan, I quit liking the team. I support the Saints. I go north to Carolina.
supporting the Saints. Go right to the competition.
Why not, man? I mean, Georgia Tech is in town. I do something. I follow the Braves. If I'm the Atlanta Hawks, I wear my jersey inside out in the NBA because I'm from Atlanta. Okay, if I'm the Braves, I skip and cancel spring training and maybe half the season because I'm in the same city as the Atlanta Falcons.
All right. Well,
that's
now
how bad
that
it is.
Football season is over, that means
Falco
we need to...
meltdown on that, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Check.
We're going to go a little bit deeper into some other things. As a matter of fact, we'll be looking at the Lakers and the Clippers as they get closer to what they're going to do. March Madness right around the corner. As a matter of fact, a month away from Selection Sunday. So a lot of stuff to pack into your Sports on Tap on 95.5 KLOS. 95.5 KLOS. Journey. Changed everything for that band when Steve Perry started singing. They brought him in originally as a vocal coach, and yeah, I remember seeing them before Steve Perry, and we were thinking, wow, that band is really I think they opened for ELO or somebody like that. And I said, wow, that band is really good. We have to remember them. Then they picked up Steve Perry and put that album out. Wow, pretty cool stuff. All right, we're still kind of mopping up a little bit of Super Bowl hangover this morning, a Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush, and they changed do you know how many years ago it was they changed the overtime rule? It hasn't been all that long, right?
To the NFL, the overtime, about 5 years ago. Yeah.
So it's been fairly recent. Mm-hmm. I mean, in all the years we've been playing NFL football, they decided, you know, the overtime, that sudden death, the first team that gets it and kicks a field goal wins, we want to give the other team a chance. So they changed the overtime rules. And, you know, if you get the ball and you go down and kick a field goal, you don't win.
Yeah,
you have to give the other team a chance to score. And that's what the whole idea is.
Right.
So when you get a good competitive game, it just doesn't come down to one team. Mm-hmm. Now, the caveat to that is, well, the first team that possesses the ball, if they score a touchdown, the game is over. Do they need to change the rule?
No, they don't, because you need to quit being a bunch of little girls and not let them go down and score 80 yards and get a touchdown on you. You need to
The whole idea was to make it fair, give the other team
a
chance.
It was fair. Atlanta
should
had the whole second half, and Atlanta had the
whole
overtime.
Should it be more like
well,
but we're talking about overtime now.
Right.
I mean, the whole overtime. What did that take? 2 minutes? 3 minutes?
Okay, if it's like...
They're gassed. That's why they gave it up. I mean, are you kidding me? That defense, they're totally gassed by the time you get to the end of that game.
Okay, but the Patriots weren't gassed.
That offense?
No. The Patriots defense, after giving those 28 points up. Like, there is no other way. Atlanta sucks. Atlanta is absolutely... when we talk NFL next year during the show, okay, I want you to say there's 31 teams in the NFL. Atlanta is that bad. I've actually written President Trump, and I said, hey, you know what? Here's a great way to get rid of some of the deficit. If you can sell the state of Georgia and all its contents, I'd sell it to France, the Brits. I don't give it to somebody.
Who's going
to
buy it?
I don't know who...
You're not going to buy that.
Mexico. Okay, I don't know. The peso rate's not a very good exchange. Nobody... Who wants it? Canadians are stupid. We're nice. We'll buy anything, man. Oh, hey, put something down there. Sell it to somebody. Okay, sell it. Cuba.
So you don't think we need to change the rule then is what I'm trying to get out of here.
No,
I just think you're talking about Cuba.
You need to play better defense, Atlanta. That's really what you need to do. Play better. They march all the way down the field. But no, I can see your point. Hey, still give Atlanta.
Yeah, the thing is I would like to have seen Atlanta possess the ball and take a shot at it. But, I mean, again, they only
that
offense.
Throw it three more times.
Really,
go three and out.
Thank
yeah.
you. The offense really only showed up in the second quarter. All three other quarters, they were really either stifled by that defense or just choked or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan, now the coach of the 49ers, on his way out of town after that great defensive performance. San Francisco issued that press release before the game, and then all of a sudden they're like, delete.
He was in there the next day. Yeah. I saw pictures online of him in his office working the next day.
Right, which here's good news. Here's good news out there. The Niners are in what division now? Remind me. The NFC West. Yeah, who do they get to play twice a year? My Seahawks and the Rams down here. So people down here, you are welcome, okay? That defensive debacle you have, that's what you're going to face now twice a year. So congrats. And 49ers fans, I'm sorry. You can keep talking Rice and Montana all the way back in the day. Wear your throwback jersey. You may want to find another team. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
All right, coming up on the program, a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, I believe we've got some prizes in there. We need to dig around in the prize book.
Tom Brady's jersey. See, I got that to give away, his Super Bowl jersey, too.
Now I was going to wait till the second half of the show to say that we had that, but or a reasonable facsimile thereof.
Here's an idea, Brady. Put it in your bag, okay? Bring it back.
He did put it in his bag. That's the thing. I've been in the sports business for the better part of 17 years. I would have a hard time even getting in that locker room, but somebody else can get in there and rummage around through people's stuff and not even be noticed. Hey, two words, surveillance video? You tell me there's no cameras in those locker rooms?
Yeah, after the Deflategate thing.
Oh, they just robe in there. They can't have cameras.
Yeah, you can put cameras to see who
in. You know how many millions of dollars of jewelry are in one of those NFL locker rooms with the bling that those guys just wear to and from the stadium?
Yeah, they have locker room attendants to stay there during the game, watch the game in the locker room on the TV, supposedly, right? Allegedly.
Allegedly. You
know, they're there watching this. They get tipped by the players. They're called clubbies. It happens in baseball all the time.
They make very good money.
Yeah, especially if a guy's on a hot streak. What do you think the Patriots wanted to pay after that win, man? They're tipping really good. Hey, good looking out, man, on my stuff. Thanks for keeping an eye
out. What kind of money do you think the deflator gets?
Deflator.
I'm not going there. I'm not going there again. Here's where I am going to go. A Bushka fact.
Now, Bushka facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
Well, I can't really say that because they're speaking in Russian. I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, I do got to say this, and we know the relationship with Russia nowadays. I texted Russia in between last break if they're going to be interested in possibly buying Georgia, and perhaps. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'll do you a solid, and I'll throw you a Bushka fact out there. This first day coming up in December of this year, 2017, it's going to be long remembered by the world.
What?
There's a global event that's going to take place in Moscow.
In Moscow.
And the Falcons will be there. I'll tell you about it next. Sports on Tab, 95.5, Caleb.
Bushka facts.
That is incredible.
What?
No way.
Incredible yet true.
When we last left our heroes, we were headed to Moscow for some reason.
Yeah, we're headed over there to check in on the Falcons. I told you.
I'm confused.
Don't be confused, Erna. The first day of 2017, which is just right around the corner, holiday season will be here, so get your Christmas shopping done early, right? It's going to be long be remembered by the rest of the world because a global event is going to take place in the Kremlin.
A global event?
Yeah.
What's that?
I'm talking about the draw for the final stage of the World Cup. Yeah, baby, it's back next year, man. We all know how we think we're good at the World Cup and we're great at soccer in America when we've never even been in the Final Four. Yeah, the girls, maybe, okay, because half the women of the world can't go outside and take the veil off their face, so of course we're going to do good there, but they're oppressed everywhere else. But no, when it comes to the men, we like to think we're good and compete with Europe and the people down in South America. But nonetheless, it's going to be fun. It's taking place December 1st, 2017, as the World Cup's going to be a month long, June to mid-July next year in 11 cities. All throughout the great country of Russia. Okay, but back on October 22nd this year, a lot of teams, you know, they get a rallying cry together. We're gonna think of a team nickname. It's going to be our motto, our slogan.
Mascot or something?
Yeah, the mascot. Yeah, the Wolf Zebivaka, which means the one who scores.
Zebivaka?
Yeah, Zebivaka. Zebivaka. Yeah. So sometimes if I call you a Zebivaka, you always think I'm like insulting you. I mean, no, it's a good. Okay. It means you're the one who scores, JD. Zebivaka. Okay. That's what you are. Okay. This was chosen by Russians.
She gave that nickname to Frank.
Frank Kramer
needs that way. Yeah.
Frank's a Zebivaka. Yeah, yes. The Russians, that's their official mascot of the World Cup. It means the one who scores.
That makes sense.
They did a vote, just like kind of how the three of us have voted to kick Atlanta and Georgia, you know, out of the United States here in this room in between breaks. The million people voted. 52.8% of Zabivaka. That's what they voted for, the country, the wolf.
Well, they only 58%. What did they edge out?
It was close. It was,
what was the other name?
Oh, man. The other name was the cat and the tiger in a spacesuit.
Stop it.
No, I'm serious.
You're making that up.
The cat and the tiger in a spacesuit.
Cat and the tiger in a spacesuit.
Which is probably a good idea. Could you take anybody seriously? Here comes the cat and the tiger in a spacesuit. I couldn't do it.
You know, this sounds like a Jeopardy question that's gone all wrong. It's really what it sounds like to me.
That's a fact, man. I'm telling you. I'd be afraid of playing the wolf. Now, the cat, the tiger, and the spacesuit. Now, look, if that's our nickname in here, which one are you?
Dave, play the
cat,
music.
The tiger, or the spacesuit. I'm the spacesuit. I know that.
Play the music.
Are you
Dave.
The tiger? You the cat? Which one are you?
You're a knucklehead is what you are.
Meow.
The cat and the tiger in a space suit. How you make that a mascot? Where they gonna all chase each other around on the floor?
I would love that just so I could. Here, kitty, kitty.
We call it Sports on Tap. Thanks for being with us. JD and the Bush, Sunday mornings, 7 to 9. Time for us to get into a little NBA basketball. Lakers haven't played. Well, they played Friday night, I guess it was, in Milwaukee. 122-114 victory there. But getting you a little bit more up-to-date NBA news has got to be what happened. You know, UCLA fans know that Russell Westbrook is he's a fiery guy. He only played one season here, and that's it. Probably soft-pedaling it a little bit. But this game with Westbrook versus Durant, the Dubs playing the Thunder, that was absolutely the marquee game on the schedule last night. And the matchup didn't disappoint. I mean, Westbrook went off, scored 47 points, came within a couple of ticks of another triple-double. But it was Kevin Durant on display in this game, right?
Kevin Durant had 34 points. Look, he's coming back to OKC the first time. OKC, they booed him pretty good. They called him Cupcake. I mean, look, if he would have defected from Philadelphia or from New York, I mean, they would have thrown like shivs at him, you know, from the stands. You know the way they are. I mean, look, when Dodgers Giants get together, Giants fans are known. They're called battery chuckers.
That's Oklahoma City. Yeah, they're not mean there.
No, they're nice. I mean, they go out, they got their tractor. You know, everybody loves each other.
Now,
it's a country fest.
You got to go to a big place like LA, New York, Chicago, where people are mean.
Yeah, absolutely. But Durant, 34 points. They kept feeding him that ball all night long. But look, here's what's scary about the Warriors. Curry had 26. Oh, he sucks. He didn't get 34. What a slouch. Well, how about Klay Thompson? He didn't show up. Oh, wait a minute.
26.
He had 26. McGee. We don't even know who McGee is. He had 16.
So would you say that they're better with Kevin Durant? Their record is not as good as it was to this point last year, but you think they're a better team, right?
Yeah, they finished 73-9 last year. Now they're 46-8. But look, they haven't lost since, I think, the Republican primary. I mean, it's what they're going out there. They've had a little while that they need to get the chemistry together. A lot of times when a superstar will come over, it's not necessarily a good thing because how's he going to play together with the guys that were already there? I mean, look, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, they were already doing fine and dandy the last couple of years. They didn't really need Durant. Kevin Durant's not the reason Golden State lost last year.
Oh, no.
They didn't need him, but they brought him on, and now the record may be a little bit off. But they're 46-8. They don't need to go 73-9 again.
You could argue, though, that this is something that they need because they had a big lead last year. If you remember how that went down, they blew a pretty big lead last year. They were one of the big choke jobs of 2016.
Is it because they couldn't score, though? Steph Curry couldn't hit a bucket, but I guess you'll have another scoring option.
And that's where I think you're right in saying that they are definitely better because he gives them something that they didn't have before. And that's a post player, a guy that can take over down low. Now, you're still going to have the same problem in guarding LeBron, and I want to talk about the champs here coming up in just a second. We'll talk about the champs and the Clippers here coming up in a second. But are the Dubs better? Are the Warriors better with Kevin Durant? Yes, they are. There's no question about that. And they proved it last night by going into hostile territory where he could have easily played limited minutes. You could have faked some thumb injury or something like that. But instead, they said, look, we know this is big for you, and everybody's going to be on you every second, so what are we going to do? Make make you the focal point of the offense. Fed him the ball. He took more shots than anybody else on the team. 21 shots last night.
21 shots last night, and they played back-to-back. Okay,
right.
This is not baseball. Basketball's a little harder to play back-to-back. Last I checked, basketball guys exert a lot of energy, right?
Yeah.
Run up and down the floor. And who did they play the night before on Friday? Memphis. On the road. Now, is Memphis good?
Physical.
Yeah, Memphis is good. Okay, mm-hmm. You're not getting a freebie and going to Miami
nope.
and playing the Heat. Okay, you're not playing the Bucks and that one Greek freak and nobody else knows who the rest of the team is.
Now,
you're playing a good team. Now you got to go to OKC. They should have saved this game today for Sunday. I thought they got jobbed a little bit. Golden State did, yet they didn't show it. They led by 23 at halftime, and that game wasn't close.
And, you know, this is typical, too, on back-to-backs like this. They didn't have shoot-around.
Yeah.
So there's no shoot around. So Westbrook, so if the fans were there early, there wasn't that whole, you know, KD and everything. But they also, the Warriors, not doubled, but tripled their armed security force for that one game. Tripled the number of armed security members on their team to go into Oklahoma City.
Well, you don't want another Charles Oakley incident, right? You
know what I'm saying? Oh, man. We'll get into that coming
up,
too.
Can't ever be too safe.
It's Sports on Tap, 95.5 KLOS. It's 95.5 KLOS, the Rock of Southern California, doing Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush. Talk a little about NBA basketball now.
NBA basketball. You got your Clippers, you know, you got your Lakers here. It's any reason to get, you know, excited for both of these teams? I mean, look, the future we can keep saying for the Lakers is, what are we? A couple years away with that. And, you know, JD, I know you and I had talked about that, you know, a few shows ago, and you said something that I'll remember great. You said, I'll suck for a few years being a Lakers fan because Kobe brought us five titles.
It's a Kobe tax.
Right,
yeah.
It is a Kobe tax.
As Laker fans, that's what we're selling.
The Kobe tax, yeah, because Kobe made, what was it, like the 24, 25 mil for so many years, you couldn't really bring anybody else on. You had to wait to get him off the books. Now, is L.A. the attractive place? Look, we live here. We know how much we love it here. It's a great town, lots to do. But the Lakers don't have that allure to a lot of the younger kids.
I disagree.
Now,
what?
I know, to an 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kid.
A year ago,
out.
They didn't. Last year, they didn't. I think now, proving that Luke Walton is the real deal, he's a real NBA coach, that you're proving to people, look, at all they need is a superstar to be contenders. A star player, because they don't have a star player right now. And, you know, nobody wanted to be the first one to jump in the pool. That's what it is. Luke Walton has proved that he's probably as much responsible for the Warriors' success as Steve Kerr is. Steve Kerr doesn't impress me on any level whatsoever. He missed all those games. They didn't miss a beat. And a lot of people think in basketball it's only five guys. All you got to do is roll the ball out there. I think the future for the Lakers is bright. You get through this year, they've already won more games than people thought they were going to win this year, and you get through this season and you're going to attract some free agents finally, and that's what they need, is a star. Superstar, I don't know where they don't grow on trees. Those are hard to come by.
They don't yeah, but a lot of people want to go to a place where you can have a chance to win. I mean, look, Kevin Durant knew that we were going to get close in OKC, but we weren't going to get over the hump. So if you can't beat him, join him, hence the cupcake chance that he got. That's why he went to Golden State. I don't know. It's going to take, I think, a massive effort to get two or three different guys here, because in the NBA, you're not going to win it with one star. You don't, okay? Jordan didn't win until Pippen got there.
Like
Kobe didn't win until Shaq got there.
You don't build a champion in
right?
1 year.
You
what you got to do is you're starting right. at scratch. You're starting at zero. You got a bunch of real nobodies, and you've got a new coach. It's going to take a while to build something. But I'll tell you this, and it's not just because I'm a Laker fan, partially, but I would rather be in the position where the Lakers are in getting ready to build something than where the Clippers are, because you've had all this talent and all this time and done absolutely nothing with it, and this team is deteriorating and getting older
right.
and going by the wayside.
Yes,
and
they're
going to go from being a playoff team to the Clippers again. Well, actually, they never stopped being the Clippers.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right about that.
I'd much rather be in the Lakers' position where we're building something cool and where you got Magic Johnson pounding his fist saying, you know what, really be better if I was in charge here. If you get this Jim Buss guy to move out of the way, things would really be better if I was in charge.
Yeah.
He's
with the Dodgers. What are you going to do? Leave Big Blue to come down here to the purple and gold? I mean, you got to do something. But
I don't know if you can be involved in both. They usually make
really?
You choose. Are you going to own the baseball team or own the basketball team?
How many guys have we seen in the NFL? I want to be the GM and I want to be the coach. Really, what else you want to do? Run the concession stand? You know, you want to run the souvenir shop as well? Yeah, but the Lakers are at 19-37. I mean, yeah, maybe they've won more games than we think they will, but they're still 18 games below .500. They're a game and a half out from being the worst team in the Western Conference, third worst overall record in the association right now. But it does take one person, maybe like a LeBron. Of course, I don't think he'd ever come here, you know. But somebody like that, Carmelo Anthony, how much gas does he have left in the tank? You need a couple guys to get together. Wouldn't that be cool? A couple of guys hanging out in Turks and Caicos, right? We're talking in the offseason. Hey, bro, I got it. Let's go to the Lakers or even a play. Let's go to Milwaukee, like four of us, man, and just all of a sudden put them in the finals next year just to say that I could do that. The type of legacy you would carry anywhere with you. LeBron has that type of legacy with him, whether it's championship winning or not. The guy's been in, 74 straight finals, I think, now in his NBA career. It's ridiculous.
He's probably the MVP. If James Harden doesn't win, if he cools off just enough, you probably see LeBron James win himself an MVP award this year, because you're
over
right.
Westbrook.
Look what happened. Look what happened. You said it. Look what happens. Miami's nothing. He goes down there, boom, 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 finals. Yep. He leaves, boom, seller again. Happened to Cleveland when he left? They're in the finals, boom,
what did
seller.
They win, like 10 games or 13 games once he left? Yes,
he is that good, like it or not.
Hate
love
the guy
him or
all
hate
you
him.
Want. Yeah. But we hate him out here.
Hate him all
I get
you
it.
Want.
You're a Kobe fan out here, but everywhere he goes, NBA Finals go. They start printing NBA Finals playoff tickets when LeBron signs up in your town. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily he's going to win it, but I've always said I like his chances to catch the great Kobe and Michael. Why? Because he's in the finals every year.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to win some of them, right?
Unless something crazy happens to him like Tiger Woods physically, to where all of a sudden, for some physical reason, back problems, whatever, he's physically unable to do it. He should break all those records, including Jordan's.
What's he been in? 8 finals, I believe, right? Hey, he's 3-5. He's 3-5
yeah,
now.
Okay. By himself.
Oh, by 3-5, which is great. Guess what? Go to right. 8. Go to 8 more straight. You know, I don't see anyone who's going to derail him, at least in the Eastern Conference, where he goes.
Coming up here in a few, we ran across. Actually, Rob got to get credit for this. Rob ran across this, and it's from WeAreFanatics.com. It's the most attractive NFL players.
Oh, it's going to be a big surprise.
You are going to be surprised.
Believe me.
The ladies may even want to chime in on this. I don't know. 800-955-KLOS. Have the number ready if you want to do that. I may give you that opportunity. It's Sports on Tap, brought to you this morning by Top Rocker Harley Davidson in Canoga Park.
On the next Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
We've got a huge, major announcement.
Stones and some girls. You know, I played, I think, Shattered yesterday in the Saturday show and got talking about this. What a great piece of work this is, the Some Girls album. I mean, man, When the Whip Comes Down is a song I like off of there. Shattered, Beast of Burden, so many good songs. Rock Southern California doing Sports on Tap with J.D. and the Bush Sunday morning 7 to 9. And we've uncovered something we thought you'd find interesting. It's the most attractive NFL teams and players. Now, Rob ran across his site. It's WeAreFanatics.com. And the question posed to some 400 folks, which NFL players are among the most handsome and which teams and positions are best looking? So we can tell you who the most attractive guys are, and also the most attractive teams, and how it breaks down by position.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Almost like it's breaking down a football game.
Well, it's great. It's what you do here during the offseason. And honestly, ladies, we would love to hear from you, because how many women out there, oh, my God, Ben Roethlisberger's so hot, whatever, because it's your favorite team. Really? Big Ben? Come on.
Are they saying that about Ben?
Apparently. 800-955-KLOS. Hit us on Twitter as well, at 955-KLOS. Who's the most handsome of the devils out there? But what they did, 400 people, as you said, were surveyed. They gave you headshots. Not action shots, just headshots. Right. And you had to rank them 1 through 10.
Right.
Number one.
Don't get carried away.
No.
Let's just keep it in the top five, because there's a couple of names in here that people are going to know, because there's a bunch of names in here you just don't know. Artie Burns. You know who Artie Burns is? No. Get Artie Burns off of my show.
Cornerback for the Steelers. Yikes.
Coming in at number five, if you want to do your drum roll, go ahead. Why do I feel like I'm in another edition of Chevy Chase?
Hey, is the Grammys? Are the Grammys tonight?
The Grammys are tonight.
There you go. Well, we're getting you ready.
Thank you. Stop it. Number five, Danny Amendola.
Oh!
That's a cute little puss, right? That's a good-looking face.
What did you just call?
A cute little puss.
Okay, yeah. That's
keep
that's,
going, guys.
I like it.
Try and keep going. Try not to be derailed too easily.
I get that way. But no, Danny Amendola, you're right. I thought, honestly, it'd have been Julian Edelman.
He's got that facial hair screws that up. That scares people.
Oh, but a lot of ladies like that facial hair stuff. You know, at least it's not hockey
caveman
beard.
Caveman facial hair.
He does.
It's got like the beard that's growing up on his cheekbone, ready to creep into his eye.
Yeah, still from like the other Super Bowl.
Neanderthal
he's still got
beard.
Up there. Yeah, he's got like snacks and stuff in there you can eat during
Danny
the game.
Danny Amendola in that cute face, number five. Kyle Emanuel. Daniel.
Charger fans, yeah.
Number four.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is Michael Burton.
Which we don't know who that is because he plays in
he
Detroit.
He plays for the Lions.
Right. All you know is Matt Stafford. Barry Sanders, though, he ain't there anymore.
SC fans, yes. Perk up. Matt Barkley in at number two. Second most attractive in the NFL.
Do you buy
Matt
that?
Barkley.
Matt Barkley.
Yeah, he's got a cute little mug, too. You know, yeah. He's handsome, a little blonde haired guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Surfer boy?
You're one of those surfer boys down in Orange County.
Matt Barkley comes in. So who could possibly be more attractive? This is maybe what we ought to see if people can guess before we just give it up. No, because you've just given a few.
Right.
I think there's a lot of people think somebody is probably the winner, and it's not.
And Barkley scored well. He scored an 8.1 out of 10.
I'll tell you what.
The ladies love him.
Here's what we're going to do. 800-955-KLOS. Tell us who the most attractive NFL player is. And we'll give you a pair of tickets to see George Thorogood, who's performing at the House of Blues down in the OC March 8th, 800-955-KLOS. Can you tell us who the most attractive NFLer is? 800-955-KLOS.
I seem to recognize your face. Haunting, familiar, yeah. I can't seem to place it. Cannot find the candle of thought to light your name. Lifetimes are catching up with me. All these changes take place. I wish I'd seen the place, but no one's ever taken. And thoughts they fade away. Hearts and thoughts they fade away. I swear I recognize your breath. Memories like fingerprints are slow. Stuck up on the shelf. I changed by not changing at all. Small town predicts my fate. Perhaps that's what no one wants to see. I just wanna scream hello. And thoughts they fade, fade away. Hearts and thoughts they fade away. Hearts and thoughts they fade, fade away. Hearts and thoughts they fade, fade. And thoughts they fade.
It's Rock of Southern California, 95.5.
Oh, inside KLOS. Joke. Did I miss something?
And Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush. Yeah, we've uncovered a little fun here. No sense in giving the phone number out again for people to want to take a stab at this because we've got every line lit
jammed
on this one. We found wearefanatics.com, and they have ranked, by polling 400 people looking at headshots, the most attractive NFL players. Your top five are Danny Amendola, Kyle Emanuel, Michael Burton, Matt Barkley, and oh, I'm not going to give you that number one yet because that's what we're looking for. Who is ranked as the most attractive player in the NFL? Up for grabs, tickets to see George Thorogood, House of Blues, Anaheim, March 8th. Let's take Roxy and Rancho. Come on. Roxy and Rancho. You're up first on KLOS. Good morning, Roxy.
Good morning.
Can you tell us who is ranked as the most attractive in the NFL by We Are Fanatics?
If it was up to me, I would say Jason Witten.
You would say Jason Witten. You would be in a tie for sixth place if it was Jason Witten. Yeah, Jason Witten coming in sixth. Roxy, thanks for trying.
The hottest tight end. Go Cowboys.
Crab in Temecula. Let's go to Crab in Temecula. Crab, good morning, man.
Morning, boys.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
This is a no-brainer. It has to be Brady, right?
Tom Brady!
No.
Comes in 10th place,
if
you can believe that.
Yeah, tied with a bunch of guys. Let's see, what did they give Brady? Brady got a 7.5 out of a 10.
Travis in Riverside up next. Travis, good morning.
Good morning.
Who do you think most attractive in the NFL according to We Are Fanatics?
Eric Decker.
No. He's not on the top 30.
Wow.
He's not on the top. A couple guys that you would think, Aaron Rodgers is on the top 30. There's several others, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Aaron Rodgers, that's like a TV face, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
They have 400 people they pulled. All right, next, Sean in Glendora. Sean, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to go with Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald is not right either. No, that's not it. Monrovia. James is in Monrovia. That's where we're going next. James, what do you think? We Are Fanatics is ranked the most attractive player in the NFL. Who do you think that is?
Good morning, fellas. I think you guys got that one wrong. It has to be our NFL champion, Tom Brady, right there.
Yeah, Tom Brady with a 7.5 rating. That's almost a full point behind who is in first place.
And again, 400 people were surveyed. They were given headshots. Rank them 1 through 10.
They must have been people on the West Coast because Tom Brady coming in 10th place and no Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely. It's like the NFL's version of Tinder, hot or not. Hot, not.
Up next is going to be Rudy. Rudy in South El Monte. Good morning, Rudy.
Morning.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to get a stab at it and go Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
No.
No, I'm afraid not.
I know. It's crazy.
All right.
Thanks, Rudy.
They went so far to split hairs, JD, to rate the hottest players by position, hottest players by team as well. And here's one thing I found interesting here. The 10 most attractive NFL teams. Seven of the 10 didn't even make the playoffs. So it's great you look good in pads, right? But you may want to practice a little more on football. The hottest team, according to everybody in their averages, the Titans.
The Titans are the most attractive team.
Apparently, they got the highest score.
Well, that tells you where they did the poll.
Apparently, right there, they did it in Tennessee. Absolutely. Okay.
Right,
number 2 is San Francisco.
And we'll take some more of your calls.
The Niners are good at something.
955 KLOS. KLOS. JD in the Bush. We do sports on tap 7 to 9 Sunday mornings here, and the Super Bowl may be over. The football season may be over, but we've come up with the most attractive NFL players according to WeAreFanatics.com. They took 400 people, headshots of everybody in the NFL, and came up with the most attractive. It's 27 people occupying the top 10 because you have so many ties.
Yep.
Like the top person ranked is 8.2. You got a lot of guys at 7.5. And your top five goes down like this: Danny Amendola, Kyle Emanuel, Michael Burton, Matt Barkley. And then our number one guy, that's who we're looking for. Who do you think, according to WeAreFanatics.com, who's the most attractive in the NFL? Sherry and Glendora, you're up next on KLOS. Yeah. Hi, Sherry.
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco is right. Sherry, did you click over to WeAreFanatics.com?
Yeah.
Good girl. Because
we only
said
get that
it every
out
time.
10 times.
I said it every time with every name I announced last time. Yes, correct. Joe Flacco. And that doesn't make any sense at all. Do you agree with that, Sherry? Is Joe Flacco the most attractive in the NFL?
Yeah, he's pretty cute.
Okay.
Okay, Sherry, let me ask you this because I call BS on it. Do you even know who Joe Flacco is? What position and what team?
Quarterback, Baltimore Ravens.
See, look at what you do. Wow.
Look what she did to you.
Boy, you shut me down.
All right, hold on, Sherry. We got tickets for you to see George Thorogood, House of Blues, Anaheim, coming up on March 8th. Hold on, you're a winner, okay? Okay.
I love the fact that the ladies get it. And so, by the way, you local football fans, we know you love your three teams, Chargers, Raiders, Rams. Here's your top five Chargers, JD. Kyle Emanuel, number one. Trevor Williams, Denzel Perriman, Josh Lambeau, and Craig Mager. as your hottest five Chargers. Okay. Raiders, you'd think Derek Carr's on there. No, Malcolm Smith. Yeah, the outside linebacker from USC.
I was going to say the old motorcycle rider.
No.
From the 70s.
He was a Super Bowl MVP when the Seahawks beat the Broncos. He had that pick six and took it back off Peyton Manning. Michael Crabtree, Perry Riley, Nate Allen, and the punter, Markell King. He's in there as well. And Rams fans, Brian Quick, Case Keenum, because we love us some QBs.
Well,
right
at least he's cute.
At least he's cute, yeah. Dominique Easley, Alec Ogletree, and Chase Reynolds. There you go, Rams fans. Those are your hottest five of each team.
I'm looking at your site here, and I'm getting an idea for another ticket give. I've got another idea from your Crazy Weird Fanatics site. So we'll dig up another one. I got another pair of
You already gave it away where they can go to find it.
Well, I'm trying to help.
I know. The show's only so long, people. Jesus, get with it.
Drew Sherman going to join us for Dumb Owners and Dumber Jocks. That's coming up next. But first, a Bushka Fact.
Now, Bushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
No way.
Incredible yet true.
All right. No, we're not staying in Russia again,
are
we?
We're not staying in Russia. No, good. I got, hey, the cat and the tiger in the spacesuit. And by the way, I figured out you're the cat. Dave's the tiger. Okay. I'm still the spacesuit. I'm okay with that.
I'm the big cat daddy.
What NFL record setter won Dancing with the Stars? Because it's a pretty cliche thing for an NFL guy to be on there all the time. But somebody actually won it. Yeah, you remember? Go back in the day.
We could make that. Is that too easy?
Oh, we could. I don't know.
Is that too easy?
Is it too easy? Well, then again,
Dave's saying yes is too easy.
I like easy things, easy people, easy everything. Is this an easy question?
Yes.
Yes. You want to do it for the tickets?
No.
All right, I'll tell you who that NFL record setter was at one dance.
Again, for Sports on Tap, which is brought to you by Top Rocker Harley-Davidson in Canoga Park, we're into another Bushka Fact this morning. This one not in Russian, which is a positive.
No, it's not. I found it on wearefanatics.com. What NFL record setter won a Dancing with the Stars competition? We know that. Come on, who the best dancers are? Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, I remember that.
Cowboy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, he's got those legs like tree trunks, man.
Jerry Rice was on. I was surprised he didn't win.
He didn't win it. Yeah, we've had Hines Ward, I think, was on as well. I mean, there's been numerous NFL guys that have come through there. Wide receivers are able to dance and move, and you had a running back that just pounds straight ahead through. It was crazy.
Hines Ward had one of the best non-football jobs ever. He got into one of the Batman films.
Yeah.
Serious, that was cool.
Yeah, I've watched Dancing with the Stars one time. It was for a couple of episodes because I was rooting for, of course, our homeboy, Tommy Chong. And Tommy didn't win it, that's it. But Emmitt Smith, yeah, 18,000 yards, man. Way to go, Em.
Coming up next, Dumb Owners and Dumber Jocks with our attorney, our resident attorney, Drew Sherman. He joins us next on 95.5 KLOS. Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. JD in the Bush here on Sunday mornings doing Sports on Tap. And let's bring in the show's attorney now, Drew Sherman, who has been with us all season long talking about, well, all things with the law in sports and the Raiders. We get extra. Well, you know, the Raiders have been involved in all this legal stuff. Now I hear, Drew Sherman, that the Raiders have lost some of their funding for this new stadium.
Yeah, it's, you know, like I said before, gentlemen, this is all posturing. By the way, good morning to you both. This is all posturing. You know, yeah, there's rumors that now everybody's pulling out funding. Listen, the Vegas is going to happen. Nobody worry. Everybody take a chill pill for a minute. It's going to happen. Posturing, this is how negotiations go. Don't worry about it.
My lawyer says not to worry, to chill, and so that's what I'm doing.
But before you retire or what?
I said a long time until I retire, so I'll take that bet. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to start doing something with you called Dumb Owners and Dumber Jocks, and I think actually we've got a case where both of them are involved in the same incident. I'm guessing. Am I right?
Oh, most definitely. You know, and unfortunately, this is one of my father's. This is my father's favorite basketball team, the New York Knickerbockers.
Right.
I mean, listen, if there's one thing that I've learned from James Bond movies, is never poke a billionaire in the face. Haven't you seen Goldfinger? Yeah. I mean, what happened is Charles Oakley, you know, great player from the 90s, hustle.
Beloved Nick.
Guy you definitely do not want to mess with in a dark alley in a lighted, basketball floor.
That's right.
And he wound up sitting behind the Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, mm-hmm. and apparently at one point started poking him in the face and got removed from the stadium, got arrested, dealing with a few counts, actually, of assaults. trespass. I mean, you know, but apparently he bought a ticket and was sitting right behind Dolan, but had started talking, and Dolan tried to have him removed. Now, keep in mind, people, that the thing about it is the all the little the words that are in the back of our tickets that we never read. You are in stadiums as a guest, a licensee, and they can remove that license anytime they want. And that's what they try to do. And it took about 10 guys to get Mr. Oakley out of there.
Even at his advanced age and everything, yeah, it was quite a scuffle that went from a mild altercation, which I heard started with a fan needling him. He started needling back. Dolan got involved. He got in Dolan's face. I mean, a couple of things here. This is a great example of dumb owners and dumb jocks. Like you said, don't go pick a fight with a billionaire because they've got lots of people that can fight that fight for them. And then number two, if you're the billionaire, don't pile on and make it worse by saying, oh, I think he showed up drunk. I hope he gets some help for his alcohol problem. I mean, Dolan doesn't know when to shut his trap is his problem, right?
Yes. He is definitely one of those guys that doesn't know when to shut his trap. But, you know, I always tell my clients, you know, I say, listen, there are revenge, principle, and ego are very expensive in the law. And if you want to do it for revenge, principle, or ego, you better be satisfied with just that. I said there's only usually one exception to that rule, and that's if it's my principle, my revenge, my ego, because I'll make your life a living hell and just because it's Tuesday. I'm going to add one more exception to that rule, and that's if you're a billionaire, because they could do it as well.
Yeah, because they're a billionaire.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's Tuesday.
And it's Tuesday. All right, listen, thanks for ironing that out for us. I'm sure that there's still some apologies and all kinds of stuff to go in that story, and I'm just glad it's not my team. Can I say that?
Yes, you can, and I'm glad it's not mine, but right. It is my father. Sorry, Dad.
Hey, Drew, we've been this morning going over a list. I don't know if you saw it from wearefanatics.com, where I think it was mostly the ladies ranking this, some men as well. They submitted headshots of NFL players to 400 people, and they polled who the most attractive and hottest player in the NFL was. Scoring an 8.2, for example, leading the way was Joe Flacco. Okay, your boy Derek Carr wasn't even in the top 30. I know you're a Raider guy, so I want to see, we'll see how smart you are according to the rest of the people, or how crazy you could say. Give us the top five hottest Raiders, because I know you look at them in kind of that way, and that's fine. Okay, I don't care.
Do Raiderettes count?
No, Raiderettes don't count. Hey, it doesn't matter to me.
Drew, there's your answer right there. Raiderette number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. Pay me.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Give me some hot Raiders.
Well, I would have to go with the Snake. You know, he's definitely
not Kenny Stabler. We're not talking dead guys. People that are playing for the team right now.
I'll throw out Michael Rivera, considering his sister is a beautiful woman and a hot actress. So I'll throw that out there for you. Khalil Mack. You know, he's got that kind of unique, good-looking quality.
Handicapped by the fact that you don't have the headshots to vote on, so we're going to go ahead and let you off the hook and let you pick the first five Raiderettes from left to right.
Yes, absolutely. So, hey, just letting you know, they thought it was Malcolm Smith, Michael Crabtree, Perry Riley, Nate Allen, and Marquette King. That's who the voter said was the hottest Raiders.
Well, Marquette King, of course, because he's the punter, you know, right. He doesn't get all messed up, But really, that's surprising. I would not have thought. Not Michael Crabtree. I mean, God love him, but not Crabtree.
Then again, good stuff, man.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you next week. Here, coming up, I think I got another pair of George Thorogood tickets here. And I thought a moment ago might be a good idea to toss them out there for a real easy shot at some tickets. We're going to continue to use this most attractive player in the NFL, and we'll do it next. It's 95.5 KLOS. Thorogood tickets. He's playing the House of Blues in Anaheim down at Disneyland March 8th. That's always a great place to see a show. Anything that's smaller like that, club size, is always a great place to catch anybody. And George will be terrific. Now, we've been messing around with this site this morning, wearefanatics.com. We're going to throw another one at you, and you're going to have to be quick, too. 800-955-KLOS for the Thorogood tickets. What is the most attractive position in the NFL? By position, meaning more guys at this position were on the list than not, correct? That'd be right?
Yeah. Yep.
By position, what is the most attractive in all of the NFL? 800-955-KLOS. Got a guess? Give us a call right now, and the winner gets some George Thorogood tickets. Like tight end?
I just throw that in there. Safety, wide receiver, quarterback. Who do you think it is? Got to have one of those positions.
Kick returner, punt returner.
800-955-KLOS.
Ball deflator. Let's go and give us a call.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, pop. No, they're ringing. They're ringing. It only takes a second. Only takes a second. Yeah, just pop one on here. Let's do this. Hi, KLOS. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, what position, Mike, is the sexiest, most attractive?
Wide receiver, of course.
Wide receiver is not right.
That's,
sorry,
that's sixth. Sixth out of 11, so you're close.
Hi, KLOS. Who's this? Turn your radio down.
Okay.
Who is this?
This is Willie.
Willie, what do you think? Most attractive position in the NFL?
I'm going to say the quarterback.
Of course it's the quarterback. Of course it's the quarterback.
Yeah.
Exactly right. George Thurgood, tickets for you, my friend. Hold on. We'll get your information and get you off to see a show coming up on March 8th down at the House of Blues.
There must be some ugly quarterbacks out there because you had a 1 through 10 scale rating. The quarterbacks graded out, JD, at a 5.06. And Joe Flacco had an 8.2. Brady had like a 7.1, yet a 5.06 is the average.
I still can't get over 32. Joe Flacco as voted the most handsome in the entire NFL.
Yeah, they surveyed all 31 quarterbacks that start in the NFL because Matt Ryan no longer is part of the NFL. He's with the Falcons. We mentioned that earlier.
But Aaron Rodgers. Yep. Matt Barkley did come in second place, and
Jay Cutler's not a bad looking dude. Yeah,
there's a bunch of them. Well, smoking Jay Cutler, you got to give him a cigarette to give him his real look.
I mean, he sucks, but he's not that ugly of a guy. I mean, come on.
All right, that's gonna do it for Sports on Tap this morning, which is sponsored by Top Rocker Harley Davidson in Canoga Park. Go by and see them if you want a hog. Well, you got your radio. What'd you got?
No. Right. I was just saying, good sports day out there today. What, Boston Big Screen.
I'm going to say Pebble Beach. I'm going to say, for Boston Big Screen for me is Pebble Beach. Number one, yeah, you get to see some of the celebs out there playing with the pros. But the eye candy, the beautiful digital camera work of Monterey Bay and that golf course. Awesome. Oh, man.
17-mile drive. Course after course across the street from one another. Okay, I'm going to take the sinister approach here. I'm going to go the Spurs at the Knicks. Okay, just because we know how things go down at Madison Square Garden, I'm going to call it right now. Patrick Ewing will be at the game, and he, too, is going to get arrested. And he's going to get thrown out of this game.
For beating the crap out of Jimmy Dolan?
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to follow Charles Oakley in his absence. Or maybe John Starks will be next week, but I'm a Knick fan all of a sudden right away, man.
There you go.
I'm with Oakley.
It's going to do it for Sports on Tap. Stay tuned. It's Breakfast with the Beatles next on 95.5 KLOS.
Days of thrills, laughter, and wonder with the new California Neighbor Pass for $129 online. Why? Because that's what neighbors do. Okay. Pass valid for 9 months from selected first visit date. Blackout dates and restrictions apply.
For 27 years, Galpin has been the number one volume Ford dealer. Go see why. For an amazing deal, head to Galpin Motors, just off the 405 freeway at Roscoe Boulevard. Call 800-GO-GALPIN or online at galpin.com.
KLOS and KLOS HD1, Los Angeles. The Rock.
The Rock of Southern California.
And the home of America's longest-running Beatles show. Welcome to Breakfast with
the Beatles!
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
I'm John.
I'm Paul.
I'm George.
I'm Ringo.
Now, your host, Chris Carter.
This is Paul McCartney saying, this is where it's at, Chris. Take it.
Good morning, Apple Scruffs. It's the 12th day of February, 2017. Hope we find you fab today. We are broadcasting live from Duke's Malibu. Yes, indeed.